Have you ever heard a donor mention an RMD and wonder what they were talking about? Today, we're going to hear Andrea's RMD story.
Welcome to All About Capital Campaigns, a podcast that provides fuel for your nonprofit's growth. Each week, Andrea Kilstedt and Amy Eisenstein, co-founders of Capital Campaign Pro, provide practical tips about raising more money for your nonprofit organization. Here are your hosts, Amy and Andrea.
Hi, I'm Amy Eisenstein. I'm here with my colleague and co-founder, Andrea Kilstedt. And today we are going to talk about RMDs, required minimum distributions. Andrea, let's set the stage and talk about what they are and why they're important. And you can weave in how you learned about them and why they're important for fundraisers specifically to know about.
Great. Let me start, Amy, though, by making sure everyone understands that we are not accountants, we are not lawyers, and what we're going to share with you is not official accounting information or
tax advice.
Period, or tax advice. So you need to do your own homework and your own looking it up. We're just going to try to help you understand what these things are and why they're important, specifically from my point of view as an older person.
As a donor. But hold on, I'm going to go a step farther in what you just said. Listeners need to have a basic understanding of how this works, and they need to tell every donor that they need to check with their own accountants, the donor's own accountants. So fundraiser, we're not giving tax advice, and fundraisers and executive directors and nonprofit leaders should not be giving any tax advice. But having a basic understanding of how things work, to have conversations with donors, that's the important part. But regardless of the conversation, donors should be advised to consult with their own financial advisors and accountants prior to making any giving decisions. Okay, that's the disclaimer.
But this is a layman's conversation. And let me tell you a little about it. So my husband and I are both well past retirement age. He's in his 80s. I'm in my high 70s. And for many years, we had jobs through which we put money into a retirement account, into retirement accounts, as you may be doing it now, or some of your donors may have been doing it. And that money, when you put money into a retirement account, and there are many different kinds of accounts, but when you put money into a retirement account, for the most part, you take money and the money goes into a retirement account, and you don't pay taxes on that money when you make it. You put it away into an account that is not, so the money is not taxed, right? It sits in an investment account of some sort, and it grows. If the money had been taxed before you put it in that account, then you wouldn't have as much to grow over time. So that's the great advantage of gradually building a retirement account. The money that goes into a retirement account is pre-tax money. Now, the government is perfectly happy to have you do that. But at some point or other, they want their tax money out of what you've saved, right? They don't just let you eventually take that money out and spend it. What they say is, well, at some point, namely age 72, Amy and I just looked it up, at age 72, we, the government, want to start getting our tax money out of what you have put in that account and deferred, right? So the government says, all right, starting at age 72, we are going to require that you take a certain percentage of that money every year out of that retirement account. And when you do that, when the money comes to you, right, when the money comes out of the retirement account to you, you have to pay taxes on it. Then it counts as income.
Yeah. The good news is most people, in theory, are in a higher tax bracket when they're working. So if they paid taxes at the beginning, they would have been in a higher tax bracket. You're making a guess that when you're retired, you might be, or you're probably going to be in a lower tax bracket. So it's win-win all around. I mean, there's good reasons to do it all around, but
But mainly you're investing the money that you would have paid in taxes for all those years. Right?
Right.
And that makes that's a long time. Let's say you were 25 or 30 when you started investing in a retirement account and you're 72 when you take it out.
It's grown.
It's grown. All that money you didn't pay in taxes during all those years has grown too, right? So
okay.
It's a big deal.
So
it's actually a big deal.
Yeah. Let's get to the required minimum distribution, the RMD. So why should listeners care about all of this mumbo jumbo?
No, that's what happens. The government says, all right, Kilstead, and eventually we'll say to Amy, okay, Amy, you are old enough that you have to take money out of your retirement account and you have to pay taxes on it when you take it out. We are requiring that you have a minimum distribution. Here's how much you have to take out. Required minimum distribution, RMD. It is something that is required by the government. And when you take it out, it counts as income and you will pay taxes on it in that calendar year. Now,
except,
and this is why you need to know about this, except that you can decide that you are going to give away the amount of required dividend, you know, money that you have to distribute, required distribution. You can give that away to a nonprofit, a qualified nonprofit organization before you take it out and not pay taxes on it ever. Right. So let's say for the sake of discussion that every month my RMD, my required minimum distribution is $5,000 a month. Let's say that the government has said, all right, over 72, and it changes every year, by the way, that amount. But let's say that the government is saying I have to take $5,000 a month out of my retirement accounts and I have to pay taxes on them. But if I gave $5,000 a month to my favorite charity instead, guess what? I wouldn't have to pay taxes on that money, right?
Now, listeners may be thinking, who on earth doesn't need that money and can just redirect it to charities? But people making major gifts and major capital gifts have other sources of income and may not need that money to live.
And it turns out that there are a lot of people like that because, first of all, you're starting to make Social Security. And if there are two of you in a family and you're both drawing Social Security, that turns out to be some money. It may well be that you're no longer paying a mortgage on your house, that your house is paid off. It's not uncommon for people's expenses to shrink at this time in life because their kids are off and gone. And, you know, the expenses you had of educating your kids are no longer the case. So, and it may well be that you have other invested income of one sort or another, right, that you're getting. So it's not uncommon for people not to need all of that money. In which case they can decide that they're going to give some of it to your organization. And when they do that, let's say they're paying 20% tax in taxes, it means that they're going to have 20% more money to give away because they're not having to pay taxes on the amount of money they're giving you, which if they withdrew it and paid taxes on it and then paid you, it would amount to less. Does that make sense, Amy?
Yes. And we're just using numbers as examples. Again, none of this is real.
Right, but the concept is real, right?
The concept is
real, not the numbers.
Yes.
Now, it turns out that there are a lot of people who are in the donor class, let's say, who have the ability to give significant amounts of money. And Amy and I, of course, are in a capital campaign business. So we're always looking and interested in people who can give significant amounts of money. And I promise you that just about all of those people have RMDs and probably don't need all of that money to live on. And they're probably pretty financially savvy. And they may be saying to you, gee, I'm thinking about giving out of my RMD. And it's important that you not get this blank stare in your face when they say that to you. You don't need to know the details of it, but you need to understand what they're talking about when they say that, so that you can say to them, great, how is this money going to come? Is there anything we have to do to support that? So let me tell you, I just gave a gift like this, and let me tell you how I did it and what I did, because it's probably not uncommon. So I decided that I wanted to give a couple thousand dollars to an organization I support. What I did was I contacted my financial guy. I said to him, hey, I want to give $2,000 to such and such an organization out of my RMD. Can you take care of that? He sent me a form to fill in. And that organization is going to get a check from my Schwab account.
Excellent.
Now,
easy. Yeah.
And then I emailed the organization, the guy at the organization. And I said, hey, Gary, you know, you should know that within a week or so, you're going to get a check from Schwab for $2,000. Just in case they forget to put my name on it. A $2,000 check from Schwab, you should know it's probably from me.
Right?
Right.
Excellent. And I mean, the good news is you're not even really going to miss the money.
That's right.
I mean, it's sitting in your account.
That's right.
And it's an easy thing to give.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it adds up. If a donor actually gets has a required minimum distribution, as in your example of $5,000, and they redirect it to a charity for $60,000 a year for 3 years, you know, that's more than $150,000 gift, you know, $180,000 gift. So it's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. So, and you know, and somebody, let's say if somebody's getting $5,000 a month, multiplied times 12, that's $60,000. They may want to keep half of it or three quarters of it, but some of that they can give to organizations.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe all of it. Who knows? Anyway, it's important that you familiarize yourself with this. If what we've been talking about sounds like total gobbledygook to you, what you should really do is then to pull one of your older donors aside. And you can say, hey, I'm trying to understand this better, right? Do you have a retirement account from which you have to take a required minimum distribution? And can you explain that to me? Right? They're going to be happy to tell you. And it'll be a good thing. And you can say to them, do you ever give out of that? Right? But have that conversation. Don't get like a deer in the headlights where those names scare you. It's actually a fairly simple concept. And for anyone over 72 with retirement accounts, this is what they have. And many of your larger donors are going to be in that category. So it's important that you understand this.
Right. So next time you're thinking about asking donors to make a gift, you can say, have you ever given a charitable gift out of your retirement accounts? Is that something that might make sense for you? It can be as simple as that. And then you're off to the races.
That's right. Exactly.
Excellent. Well, it's important that listeners understand different jargon and terminology that their donors may toss out at them. And now RMD, they can check off the list.
Right. I love it.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining Amy and Andrea for today's All About Capital Campaigns. To learn more about them and their work together, visit CapitalCampaignPro.com. And please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you.